From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our next hour, the government shutdown, the botched Obamacare rollout, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford's very public meltdown. This was a tough year to be a politician, which meant there was plenty of material for political comics to feast upon. We'll look back on the funny, the serious, and the just plain cringeworthy news from the past year with a panel of local comedians. Join us for Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's second hour of the Forum program. And as we approach 2014, we thought we would step back this hour and have a look at the world that was in terms of some of the major news stories of 2013, but from a decidedly comic perspective. We invited a trio of well-known and veteran San Francisco comedians to join us this hour to talk with us about the year past in the news. Brian Copeland, comedian as well as playwright, author and talk show host of KGO's The Brian Copeland Show, performing the Jewelry Box now at the Marsh. And we'll be opening the Scion there in January. He's also co-hosting Not Your Normal New Year's Eve at the Marines Memorial Theater on December 31st. Copey, good to have you.
Hey, good to be here. You got all that in? Thank you.
Bob Sarlat is also here. Actor, comedian, frequently appears on The Late Show with David Letterman, longtime field announcer for the San Francisco 49ers.
Nice to be here.
Good to have you. Also good to have Marga Gomez back on Forum, actress and comedian. And she'll be performing her solo play Lovebirds at the Marsh in San Francisco from January 23rd through the 15th of March. Welcome, Marga.
Michael, pleasure to be here.
And I was saying to this trio of great comedians before we went on the air that Time Man of the Year was Pope Francis. I've got a multiracial group here, but three Roman Catholics, I believe. So maybe we ought to begin by talking about someone who the right wing is now describing as the former bouncer of Buenos Aires. I mean, the socialist bouncer, I think, is what they describe him as.
Yeah, just like they'd hate that old socialist Jesus.
Right.
Well, he's a bouncer in Buenos Aires. That's they don't let you into the club unless you've had plastic surgery. That's, he checks behind your ears.
If he was wearing that outfit, he probably would be pretty effective. Yeah, that's the Pope. But he wasn't that then. He doesn't look like a big guy, though, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He's
but he is
nudger.
A big guy.
He nudges. He doesn't bounce. Yeah.
Well, it you know, it was a big story because he was in many ways a very different kind of pope than his predecessor, who is still with us, Pope Benedict. And the fact of the matter is that time when they choose the person of the year chooses it on the basis of how much impact that person has on the news. Now, do you have others that you would put in that category?
Wow.
In terms of this year? I would make the Tea Party the man of the year. They've done it before.
They've got some women,
in terms of groups.
Yes, but they do person of the year. And men,
yeah, but I mean, they've actually done like some groups and organizations in the past,
yes,
haven't they?
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, just the impact that the Tea Party has had on the Republican Party. I mean, I'm not saying that I like what it is that they've done, but I mean, they have really had a major impact on the direction of politics and of the discourse in this country over the course of the last year. We'd had no government shutdown had it not been for the pressure of the Tea Party.
I hear. I thought you were going to pluck somebody out who would create some comedic sense. But,
it should be one person, though. I don't like when they start playing with the definitions of person of the year.
Right.
It's a whole party. That's party of the year. Well, but that's a terrible
that's
party.
That's a heck of a party.
That's not much of a party.
Well, the only reason that the Pope got it, I think, is because it's the first time the Catholic Church hasn't, like, you know, totally regressed on issues of all what the Catholic Church has done with all the molestations and all the stuff that they've pulled back and become more and more conservative. It's like kind of like what Bush did, like, you know, this is my ground. No, this is still my ground. And so in this case, this guy came out on the issue.
You're comparing the Pope to Bush, really?
No, I was not
in the that. Same breath. You mentioned the Pope and George W. Bush.
No,
really?
No, I meant that this Pope is bringing up subjects that have never been brought
right.
up. They're not even revolutionary topics, but they are for the Catholic Church. So it's kind of like, you know, he looks more liberal than he is because no Catholic has ever talked about, no Catholic Pope has ever talked about those issues.
He's like that cool priest who would show up at Catholic school and rap with you. That's that guy.
Yeah, let's rap. Yeah. Yeah. He put the hands, put his fingers. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, like he would introduce the folk mass if it it hadn't happened already.
Oh, the
now
folk gonna, mass.
Now remember it's the dubstep mass.
That was horrible.
I grew
horrible.
Up during that in the 70s when they were in church, were singing Day by Day and stuff from Godspell. Jesus Christ Superstar in church.
It's gluten-free wafers. He's got all kinds of modern ideas.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I went back and looked at some of your videos last night, and I saw Brian, saw you on HLN talking about with Dr. Drew about the Zimmerman case. This is one of those kind of news stories where you wonder, I mean, George Zimmerman was a big figure in the news, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, you don't want to talk about news stories in a comedic way like the war in Syria or, you know, the massacre in Kenya. We want to keep these on a certain level. And that was not a funny story, but the lead lawyer led off with a knock-knock joke.
Oh, yeah, that landed. That went absolutely no place. Absolutely no.
What was the knock-knock joke? Refresh me. I'm not sure.
Knock-knock, who's there? George Zimmerman, who? Oh, good, you're on the jury. And here's the worst thing. He stole that from O.J.
Really?
O.J. did that joke. Yeah, he was in prison, and he was like, I think one of the Menendez brothers was in the adjoining cell, and he had told that as a knock-knock joke. So he's ripping off. How bad is it when you're stealing material from O.J.? And then he goes ahead and wins, just like O.J. did. So there you go. There you go. They brought in coffee. This is lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were on there in a more bloviating form as opposed to your comic form talking about that. So, but we want to keep this on a comic level here, at least to some extent, and talk about those kinds of stories that maybe have more comic resonance to them. Although serious stories. I looked, Marga, at you talking about gay and lesbian marriage and this lovely
that is pretty serious.
Yeah, it is. And Prop 8 and DOMA and Skull.
Yeah, I'm so broke now with all my gay friends getting married and all these wedding
destination weddings that you're paying.
Couldn't we have sort of rolled it out gradually, like healthcare or something? Couldn't there have been a site that everyone had to check into? Because I can't afford it anymore.
But I love what you say. You say, come on, little girls. Come on, little boys. These are the same kind of marriages, except more dancing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a bit about back when, just before 2013, when California was looked to be maybe the last state to ever have same-sex marriage and equality. And the reason was that the people would use children. Oh, children are going to know that gay people can get married and not just cruise each other online.
Right, right.
So we need a lesbian town crier.
And you were the lesbian town crier.
I was.
Then I went back and watched Sarlat on Letterman, where he appears from time to time, old basketball buddies. He always says, it's Bay Area Bob. And,
right.
And Dave was showing again his great knowledge of sports by saying he's the announcer at Kezar Stadium.
I think he did that just so I would give him crap, because he likes it. I'm the only guy that gets away with giving him static when he misses stuff. You know, he doesn't know. He knows sports very well, but he said Kezar just to show some old knowledge, but no new knowledge.
Well, giving crap, he was giving a crap about your so-called hairpiece and your...
Yeah, I need a haircut, too. He always says, I have the opposite of a receding hairline, which is probably true.
And do you really do announcements? I want to get back to news, but at your daughter's wedding and other weddings?
I was going to tell you, that is the truth. I was going to say that after Margaret talked about weddings. My daughter has been going to a lot of weddings, and she's getting married in about 10 months, and everybody wants me to do the Niner announcer at the wedding. Be kind of careful. You can't hurt people's feelings. Starting at maid of honor at 5'8", 140, 150 pounds, you know, got to be kind of careful. So it's fun. I've done it a few times. It's silly.
So you know it's a big news story. In fact, Dave Iverson, who does the Friday Forum program, is going to be talking about Candlestick and memories of Candlestick, because Monday is the last game being played there, and all kinds of nostalgia and feelings about that. But you must have some great Candlestick stories.
Well, you know, I've been there. I've been the announcer for – this is my 30th year, and I hope to continue at the new stadium, by the way. But
Daddy, what's Vietnam? 30th year? Really?
Yeah, it's my 30th year. And, you know, I've had some funny times. People say, gee, you know, Oakland Coliseum must be way worse than Candlestick. Not really. I mean, it's pretty good for me at Candlestick. I've been there 30 years. I have my own performer's entrance. I only get stabbed going to and from my car. So that's kind of nice. But
do my joke. My favorite joke.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, this is my all-time favorite joke.
I said, have you ever been there for baseball? I'll do two. The second one's the one you like. Is the second one? The first one is you go to a game at Candlestick where the fog rolls in and the wind kicks up, and you see the center fielder cutting open a caribou to survive the ninth inning. That was for baseball. But Brian always liked. I went to a night game at Candlestick. It was so cold, the guy next to me had a corncob pipe and two eyes made out of coal. That's stupid.
It's silly, but it's like, I like those silly jokes. Well, you know about the. I told you this, I think, about the bee that was wearing a skull cap, a yarmulke. Why? Didn't want to be mistaken for a wasp. All right.
That's good. That's great.
That works.
That's great.
And Candlestick, we'll be talking about in our second hour tomorrow with Dave Iverson. Let me just throw topics at you, and whoever wants to take them, take them.
Great.
Miley and twerking.
All right. You know, I'm going to take
go.
Bam. She wasn't twerking. She was just bending over. She is not a proper twerker. And I heard about it, the scandal. Everybody was and I watched the little clip from, what was it, the Grammys or the AMAs?
Yeah, it was the VMAs.
And the VMAs. And I just really was, of course, fascinated by her tongue. And then I felt bad about mine. I mean, I just and I don't know if you all did this, but I spent like the rest of the night in the mirror trying to see, like, my tongue is really short. How do I even swallow?
This is what Freud called tongue envy, I think. Or
it's tongue envy, yeah.
Well, you know, if you look up twerking in the dictionary, it comes from an old Latin word that means ripping off dance moves from black people.
Wow.
That was the...
Brian always traces the etymology of these things.
Yeah, Rob Ford.
Let's go over Rob Ford.
Rob Ford is an old Latin word that means Mary and Barry.
They
could have smoked crack together, actually, right?
This is
the only guy I know
Latin
who smoked crack
Chris
and said the problem was I was
drunk. Martin makes a good point. He looked like Chris Farley.
SNL should sign him.
Yeah. It must have been easy what Rip to do him on TV, right? Because he just
everybody did him. Oh, everybody did.
Yeah, yeah. Let me throw an easy one at you, Ted Cruz.
I mean, the guy's in self-parody. I mean, where do you go? I mean,
he's a Canadian.
Yeah, that's right. So he can't be president, can he?
No, but his parents are American citizens. I think they can
really
avoid that one. Yeah, but he's probably not going to be the nominee anyway.
I wouldn't think so.
On the Senate floor, reading Green Eggs and Ham.
He's kind of a waste. It's kind of a waste of time. The guy's a smart guy. Why did he go that way with it? Because isn't he a law? He's a Harvard Law Review guy.
I'll tell you a story
guy.
About him. He is a Harvard Law Review guy. And when he was at Harvard Law School, and this is pretty revealing, they used to have these groups that got together, and at least so the story I read. I think it was an authentic place like People Magazine. No, I think he actually said something to the effect that you can't join this group unless you went to Harvard, Yale, or Princeton, which is, you know, pretty much of a populist view, I would say.
Yeah.
It's a created persona. It's like Ann Coulter. You don't really believe this ridiculous nonsense coming out of your mouth, do you? Or are you trying
cartoon.
To sell books?
They're like cartoons.
Oh, no. She really is that.
Well, the whole thing is a cartoon. I mean, Ted Cruz, it's a shame that you have to pick what you want to be right away. That's what he's going to be like now. It's like Newt Gingrich or something. You pick this crazy position, then all the rest of your life you have to defend it. So it's kind of a shame, actually.
Which brings me to Edward Snowden. Some thoughts from...
Oh, man. I don't know.
Here. Well, comic practitioners on that.
The name? NSA has been liking my Facebook posts, so I'm nervous.
How do you know?
All I know is I'm not paying for Bradley Manning's gender reassignment surgery.
Chelsea, the name is Chelsea.
Chelsea, excuse me. I have to go by Chelsea. Okay.
I got to give you the name Paula Deen, and that was a big news story.
Yeah, Paula Deen. It's just weird to think that, you know, a heavyset African, a heavyset woman from the South would have racist attitudes with African American people. Quite frankly, I was shocked, and I love her defense. Well, you know, I is what I is. Oh, great, she's Popeye.
Is that what she said?
I am what I am.
No, she said I is what I is during her little weep fest.
A little deflection.
On the show.
A little deflection.
You know,
let's go to a very exotic place. How about Kim Jong Un?
Wow.
He just had his uncle assassinated.
Yeah, I saw that.
And actually, the uncle was married to the blood aunt, and the blood aunt was promoted. So there may have been a deal behind the scenes there.
I like how he was out of the picture. In that, they showed the two pictures. First, it was like some – remember, he was out of the shot, and they doctored, and he was out of the picture. Oh, well.
I like when his – when did his father die?
Oh, it's been a couple of years.
Yeah. Been a couple of years, then never mind.
Mental
you know what? I didn't know this was 2013. I thought we were going to do 1977.
I can sing Disco Inferno for you.
Okay.
Actually, that was 78, but who's counting?
Was it?
You know, there was recently a Saturday Night Live, which I don't find very often to be funny, I must be honest. In fact, it's kind of humor defective. But they did a bit on the whole thing with President Obama and the Danish head of state. And they said Michelle wasn't angry. This was a guy who imitates Obama. She wasn't angry. She was furious. You know, and the timing was pretty good, and he did deliver it. But then, and they said I shook hands with Castro. Actually, I thought it was Edward Almos that I was shaking hands with.
You know, in Michelle's defense, not that she needs any. She's awesome. I love her. Please call me. Everyone said she's furious, but as a woman of color, I can tell you that that's our default face. And she's probably just relaxing, not scowling at all. And for me, it's like I have to remind myself to just smile, which really hurts and upsets me.
But, I've never seen you with a sour face, though.
Oh, it's when I'm relaxing. You've never seen me relaxed.
No, but that's a good call. My wife always said, as a kid, people said, why don't you smile more? She hated that. You've got to hate that.
Yeah, they say, Dear Abby said, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. But she doesn't know that she's dead. But my frowning muscles are more developed than my smiling muscles. Uh-huh.
So. Because you've exercised them.
You've worked on
them.
I have
you've worked them
all
out
my life.
More.
Well, there was a story that became current, and you have to check the authenticity of this, and I don't know if Snopes has it or if it's real, but supposedly the website that went haywire over Obamacare, that somehow there was a connection to someone Michelle knew when she was in Princeton who may have been least involved in the operation.
Wait, I have an Obamacare joke that's very politically incorrect, but it's not my joke. But it might be one of those things you would do with your buddy Ron Owens. You know that they're going to start taxing aspirin because it's white and it works. Have you heard that joke?
No. No, an accent of one I won't do. But anyway,
I wanted some reaction there.
Well, my Obamacare things, and this is something I put in the new show, The Scion, is like all these people that run around saying that Obamacare is slavery, you know, and it's like, you know, I'd like them to sit down with an actual slave and have the conversation. Well, yesterday I only picked 100 pounds of cotton instead of my 110-pound quota, so the master beat me so much the black came off my back. You can't get on a website, same thing. Same thing. I don't see a difference.
Exactly. You know, Brian, I spent 12 years on the website. So,
hey, you know what? I got to say that it worked. It worked for my daughter. I went through the thing.
She's got to talk me through it.
I did it. I did it with it worked pretty easily, actually.
It's better in California. Yeah, much easier in California. Yeah. We did a whole program on it recently.
Places where the governor cares. You know, where the state legislature cares and wants to see it work, it works. Places where they don't, like Texas, it doesn't.
So did any of you see the interpreter working with Nelson Mandela?
How does something like that happen? Yeah. How does something like that happen?
No vetting, nothing.
The guy was like vetting. 10 feet away from Obama, right? He could have been anybody. He was nobody.
Yeah, in fact, I should explain to listeners who may not know, he was doing interpretation, but it was utter gibberish. And he was waving his arms, flapping his arms a lot. And it turned out that he wasn't really an interpreter.
Well, I knew as soon as I saw him put his left foot in and take his left foot out, I knew immediately.
He was doing the hokey pokey.
That's right. It was something that wasn't there. But
they
also
said
he threw
some gang signs. They said.
He had gang signs, right? Brian, got to ask you about Megyn Kelly. I mean, the whole Christmas being ruined and Santa is white or Santa is not black and all that. I mean, it's gone off the haywire.
Well, it was the two statements she made. That Santa was white and that Jesus was white.
Yeah. Bill O'Reilly said Jesus
was
white.
No, she said Jesus
was
white.
She said it also.
And she was adamant about it, too. He's white. It's just the way it is. And, you know, it's ridiculous. How, on the other hand, I don't buy that Jesus was black either. Because I don't believe the Last Supper would have been sanitary enough for black people. Yeah, this is my body. Take it and eat it. Man, you had your nasty hands
Fox
all over
News
hookers
did report
and lepers.
Someone
could say that's racist,
white.
Not knowing that this is an African-American speaking, yes.
Well, people don't know.
She came back.
There are a few people who didn't say
not a genuine black man.
Yeah, there are a few people who didn't see it.
But if they
she
just
came
tune
back
in.
From that and said, oh, I was making a joke. Don't people have a sense of humor? And it's like, you have the worst delivery.
Yeah, you know who else said he was making a joke? Alec Baldwin.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. Yeah, he tried to turn it into a joke. He was just kidding around about
kidding.
Using the F word, about the homophobic F word.
My homophobic slurs were a joke. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, a photographer, and it was quite unseemly.
Well, Alec Baldwin must be delighted about the lift of the cell phone ban.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that lift, Marga.
Yeah, geez, this is horrifying.
Yeah.
Is that this would happen? I mean, no one, I don't know anyone who's really felt like the remember they used to have those giant phones on the plane? I like those. You used to have to go over the
bathroom. And they cost about $900 bucks.
Yeah, $9 a second.
Yeah, but then you showed you cared. You know, now anybody can call, you know, I'm going to have a baby just so I can bring a screaming baby on to drown out the person on the cell phone next to me.
Yeah, like sitting next to a guy 800 pounds isn't quite bad enough. You have to have that guy on the phone, too.
Yeah, well, we know where you all stand on this issue.
Well, who's for it? Who would be for this?
Sprint.
Yeah.
Sprint.
AT&T. Verizon.
Yeah. Right.
Now, here's the thing. If they can't get, especially AT&T, if you can't get a signal on the ground in your car, how are you expected to get it at 10,000 feet to get a signal?
Right.
Just saying.
Do you guys have good material when the government shut down? I mean, that was pretty serious news story, but there was some humor there, wasn't there?
There was a little bit.
I shut down in 1995.
Did you? Yeah.
Yes, I've
read
shut
that.
Down since then, yeah. No, see, I didn't have any material.
No, one does, I don't think.
No, it's funny because it didn't really affect. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're going, well, it didn't affect me unless you had a government job.
I still had my cable, so that's
right.
All I know.
Still had your cable. Your waters, there was PG&E still worked.
It just seemed like some ruse. And it's another phony deal. It was like, okay, all right, when do we call off the jam and it's back to normal again?
Another manufactured crisis.
Kind of, yeah.
No, I don't know about you, Margaret, but I know Bob and Brian watch an incessant amount of television, particularly Brian. I don't know. Were you following? And this is one of those stories that maybe you shouldn't go near because it's not that funny, but I suppose, you know, it's material for comedians, the Jody Arias trial.
You know, I watched it out of the corner of my eye, but no, there really wasn't a whole, I mean, other than the woman just lied through her teeth, and, you know, I feel sorry for her boyfriend. What was it that was attractive about her in the first place?
I can tell you.
What
she's
was
evil.
It? Is that it?
A woman who was accused of murdering her ex-boyfriend. Thank you, Irene. You got to get these stories out and annotated for you.
That's the lesson.
Public consumption. Yeah.
Crazy chicks are like pit bulls. They're fun until they're not.
Ooh, you know, wow. There's going to be a sexist backlash on that one.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Of course.
Say, how could you let that go by? So I didn't let it go by.
Crazy men are the same way.
Yeah.
Crazy men are the same way. They're fun until they're not.
I imagine she got a lot of love notes in you know, sent to the prison.
You like Richard Ramirez and like Ted Bundy. They got lots of love notes, too.
Pretty good guys, yeah.
If you want love notes, no. There was actually a series of playing cards of serial killers. You can't make this stuff up, did you?
Oh, yeah.
I saw them, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I lost that game of old maid. Yeah.
What was? Were there funny news stories that you would like to bring up for discussion, or news stories? That, again, we have to stay away from things that aren't funny. I think you know you don't talk about the Boston Marathon or something.
Bat Kid,
right?
Bat Kid.
The Bat Kid thing.
Yeah, that should be.
Yeah.
You should be Person of the Year.
You know, that was a sweet, wonderful story with the money that was raised for.
Make-A-Wish.
For Make-A-Wish, yeah.
I'm really surprised that
the
got
whole
done
city
in
of
this
San Francisco
town.
Turned into a Batman city.
Because it was non-political. It was like nothing ever gets done in this town that's not political. And so this thing had legs for like 3 weeks, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, because he didn't. They said it worked real well because
he got
no
the
one
key
planned
to the
it.
City. It was a right. wonderful story, and people lapped it up. I mean, this city felt proud.
Yeah, more people were out on the downtown than for the Giants.
That was like a 1950s story in San Francisco.
And the most amazing thing is the kid is only, what is he, 5 years old, and he's still a better Batman than Ben Affleck will be.
Well, that's a news story. People couldn't stand the fact that Ben Affleck was chosen to play.
No, it's like, especially after Christian Bale. It's like, are you kidding? Really? I mean, I thought it was a joke. Everyone thought it was just an internet joke. And nope.
I couldn't have, Irene says, bring back Michael Keaton. I couldn't believe the anger. I mean, the level of the anger at Ben Affleck being chosen for Batman. Well, if you have stories from the year 2013 that you want to bring up for some digestion by our trio of comics, or if you have some stories that you thought were funny or just want to join this conversation, we invite you to do that. And what a conversation to join. We're having a lot of fun here, as always do with these three characters.
I was in Batman, by the way.
You were?
That's right, the first one.
I was in Batman Forever. No, I think it was like the second one with Val Kilmer.
No, it was the last. Oh, that's the
second or third. That's
the third one. Forever.
I want to find out about that.
I was in Star Trek 4. Thank
that's
you.
That's a tease.
I saw Star Trek 4.
Val Kilmer still has the distinction of being the hardest man in Hollywood to work with, by the way.
Really?
According to almost every assessment. You can join us. We welcome your involvement in the program. Toll free, 866-733-6786. Bring up a news story or just join us in terms of your memory. What do you remember that's funny? 866-733-6786. You can also email forum at kqed.org or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's at @KQEDForum or go to our Facebook page. A lot of ways to communicate. We'd like to have you involved. Margaret Gomez, Bob Sarlat, Brian Copeland. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The government shutdown, the botched Obamacare rollout, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford's very public meltdown. 2013 was a tough year to be a politician, which means there was plenty of material for political comics to feast upon. We're looking back on the funny, the serious, and maybe the just plain cringeworthy news from the past year, where the panel of local comedians, Margaret Gomez, actress and comedian, be performing in her solo play Lovebirds at the Marsh in San Francisco from January 23rd through the 15th of March. And Bob Sarlat with us, actor, comedian. makes appearances on The Late Show with David Letterman and is a longtime field announcer for the San Francisco 49ers. And Brian Copeland here with us in studio, comedian, playwright, author, and talk show host with KGO Radio, and is performing The Jewelry Box at the March, which will be going on. And then The Scion, another play of his, opens up in January. Can't escape San Leandro, as we all know. He's also co-hosting Not Your Normal New Year's Eve at the Marines Memorial Theater on December 31st. And you can join us. We're asking, what news event do you think provided the best comic material or comic fodder in the year 2013? And we welcome thoughts from you on that. Or if you'd like to just comment in a what you think is a humorous way about a news story, certainly would like your contribution on that score as well. Our toll-free number, again, is 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I was teased before we went to that break by Marga being in Batman 1, which I did not know. What were you in Batman 1?
I was the journalist. I was a journalist, so I'm surprised you haven't heard of me. And I was in, I just had a few lines, and I still get checks from it, which is amazing. I had a line, are you seeing Dr. Meridian personally or professionally? And I'm in a big party scene. And you can, if you rent it, I get half a penny. You can see me in this scene. I'm the only woman not in a low-cut dress. They gave me like a wool turtleneck dress. They knew I was a lesbian. I go, here, honey,
fetching.
You cover up. Yeah.
Very fetching.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I was in the movie Swarm. You know, remember the movie Swarm?
No.
About bees stinging people on an airplane?
I remember reading about it.
That's so much better than snakes on a plane.
Well, it was before. So I did the looping job on this. This always cracked me up. So when it was over, it was a movie, they said, hey, the sound of people dying of the bees wasn't loud enough. So me and this other clown got paid like $600 to go in the studio and go, ow, 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 hey, ow, ow. And then we had to go, no more. Then we had to go, oh, like we were dying. And I still get $10 every like 6 weeks
or something. Hysterical.
That is the best show business story ever.
Swarm. Thank you.
I want that job.
Well, it's a hard story to follow, but Richard, we'll put you on here. Go ahead, Richard. You're on.
From Saratoga. Yeah. I'd like to make a comment on the fact that when I was driving through government property during the shutdown, the thing that was shut down that I needed the most were bathrooms. They were all locked because of the government shutdown.
Wow, that sounds like a park in San Francisco. The bathrooms are always closed there, too.
Yeah, it's hard to actually say a joke about that on the air.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's not the government shutdown. It's called Chevron.
Yeah, I guess.
Shell. Any of the bathrooms.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call, Richard. Let me get another caller here because they don't know what the hell to say about that.
No,
Sean, go ahead.
It was kind of its own finish. Its own finish. Sorry about that.
No,
about
go ahead, Sean.
That's about all we could say. Sorry.
It came to us. Go ahead, Sean. You're on.
What did you do next? What are you going to ask me? What did you do next? You know? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sean, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, what were your take on the Jimmy Kimmel and Kanye West beef? Remember do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Wait, refresh your memory a little bit.
No,
I remember the bit, but I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, who's Kanye West?
Kim Kardashian's husband. Right. Why do I know that? That's pathetic.
The guy that rips off Curtis Mayfield. That's the guy. Kanye West. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you want to give a little bit of the background, Jesus. Sean?
Yeah, sure. So Kanye West did an interview about pretty much how he's God, and it was in the recording studio, and then Jimmy Kimmel had that reenacted with children, and it super angered Kanye, and he was going to take action and sue him and all this stuff, and that's right after he got posted his proposal to his wife, got posted on YouTube as well, which made him mad.
Yeah. How did we miss this story? This is biggest story of the year.
No, I actually remember this.
I do too.
I just remember they got a feud. I didn't know the context of it, but it doesn't take too much to get Kanye West ticked off, I don't think.
Well, it's my goal someday to have someone love me as much as Kanye West loves himself. That's what I'm hoping for in the future.
Even the last record release was called Yeezus, because I guess he's trying to identify with that Black
Jesus
man from Palestine.
Yeah, I know he was. Well, actually, you know, it's funny. I know his work pretty well because he did a lot of sampling of Curtis Mayfield, and I love Curtis Mayfield. So I think he just was more of an homage to him because he was from Chicago and all that. So that's the stuff I know. Brian always gets bugged about this because I know more about R&B than he does. But I know a lot more about R&B than a lot of people. So, but he just gets, he takes umbrage pretty easily, Kanye West does. So
I am a Kanye fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
But I have really prided myself on not knowing what Kim Kardashian looks like. And I've tried, every time I see a magazine, I try to look away so I won't know what she looks like. So I don't know who that is. So if I meet her in a bookstore in London, you know, we'll have kind of a cute meet. But Kanye said, made this statement a couple of weeks ago that he does not read. And, books
you
are
mean,
conceited.
He doesn't read at all?
He doesn't read books.
Illiterate. Oh, okay.
Anybody
books.
Know that one? No. Oh, that was good. Yeah.
Kanye West doesn't read books.
There's another caller on Kanye West. Somehow this has started something here.
I think he's pretty talented, actually.
He's very talented.
He should have been person of the
talented.
Year. Oh, but probably that would be too much.
Well, this is Jay from Sacramento. And I think, Jay, go ahead and tell us what you want to say.
Well, Kanye says he's the new Nelson Mandela.
Oh, no,
but I think he didn't really say that. I think, in all fairness to him, this is something that was generated on the internet and turned out to be a hoax. Mm-hmm. He could have said it, but he didn't say it.
Right. Yeah, well, he didn't think of it. That's the only reason he
didn't
say it.
Didn't all this stuff start?
Because he didn't read books and he didn't know.
If he'd read a paper, he'd have known.
Yeah. Exactly. Didn't this start out when he got all ticked off at the Music Awards a few Taylor Swift. Remember that?
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Oh, that was
Taylor Swift.
That was terrible. Yeah, that was
a little history of that.
You know, when the President of the United States calls you, what did Obama call him, a knucklehead after that? He called him a knucklehead.
Right.
And Irene, informed me that Kanye doesn't read because his mother was an English professor? Oh, it's weird that he doesn't read. My kids read. I'm an English professor.
His mother had like 3 degrees.
Yeah, so much.
She sang with the 3 degrees also.
That's separation.
When will I see you again? When will I see you again? 3 degrees. Anyway, but his mother's very well educated, and he was very tight with his mom. I like the guy. But
an email from Fernando says, which name popped up in the news most during the year? Who actually had a worldwide impact? Undoubtedly, the decision to choose the Pope instead was obviously political bias. If the party in power had been Republican, Snowden would have been chosen.
As the person of the year?
Somebody's thinking more than we are right now.
But it was also a public vote, which is horrible. It's like we're going to Yelp the person of the year now. But
Yelp the person of the year.
Yeah. It's turning into American Idol all of a sudden.
It is. That's why they thought Miley Cyrus was going to win.
Let me get another caller on, Jack. That's you. Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to see a sketch that would be
from us?
Kim Jong-un's Thanksgiving dinner.
That would be awkward.
Well, there's one uncle that won't be there next year.
Because they love Thanksgiving in Korea.
You remember Barry Levinson's film about cutting the turkey? The uncle cut the turkey.
There's a chair empty at the table.
Yeah.
It's like, come on,
where's my uncle? On the table.
Tiny Tim won't be around next year.
Yeah, were you envisioning something, Jack?
I just thought it would be, now. Of course, it wouldn't have been funny earlier, but now you have to take into consideration the consequences for his uncle. And yeah. What the uncle might have said at the Thanksgiving dinner that might have, caused this kerfuffle.
Well, it was a little more than a kerfuffle. The uncle was charged with all kinds of... he was
trumped
charged,
up.
Well, charged with trying to overthrow the government under Kim Jong-un, charged with womanizing and pornography. These are usual charges that don't carry capital punishment.
What are these guys
womanizing.
Doing? What are they doing on a day-to-day basis? Why do they have to pick on relatives? Aren't there enough people they're torturing already? Why do they have to go to their own relatives? I don't get it.
A very profound question, Bobby.
You must not have a lot of relatives, my friend. You don't understand that.
Well, this is a guy who's also holding nuclear weapons, we should mention.
Right. He didn't nuke his uncle, at least.
That's true. There is, and speaking of nukes, a lot of news out of Pakistan this year. You guys follow that?
Hey, a lot of laughs in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Hey,
take it, Brian.
What was that? What happened in Pakistan? I don't know. A lot of things.
Well, there was a changing of the guard. There was the stuff with the Taliban. There was,
it's crazy.
How do you pronounce that guy's name, the guy that was just there? Is it Mala? Was it Malathion? What was his name?
Malathion.
What was the guy's name? He had a really tough name to say.
No fruit flies in Pakistan. No Mediterranean fruit flies are in Pakistan because Malathion is ruling the country.
All right, now here's some good. We're talking about comic stories from the year. Peter, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I hate to bring this up, but you guys are guilty of some fallout there. Hint, hint.
Wow, you've lost us, Peter.
He's tagging me nuclear joke, I think. Is that where we are?
Now, think about New York and...
I think he's suggesting we're missing a story here. A guy
starts with a W.
Yeah, and the caller's name is Peter, and I think we're talking about somebody who was a congressman.
Oh gosh, oh. Yeah. Well, that the low hanging fruit, Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Right. It's selfies, which it's Obama's just, now being blamed for doing. A different
yeah,
kind of
but
selfie,
it's not. It's not the president's yeah. junk that's being like from the selfies. I mean, that's a lot different.
Yeah.
The fact that he did it, and then he goes on this little mini apology tour, and then he said, "Oh, there may be more women that come out. There may be some more, but it may be true, may not be true." Remember that?
And then he ran for mayor.
Right. Right. I'm saying this while he's running for mayor yeah. at the beginning of the campaign. There may be more women.
Well, his political career is over.
And so is his Twitter account.
So is his Twitter account. And Spitzer, too, you know, got caught a little bit in the backfire because he was doing somewhat better in the polls.
Yes, he was. Well, he'll come back. Spitzer will come back.
It inspired Geraldo Rivera to take a topless shot on Twitter. So that's
right.
Yeah.
That was a bit scary to look
wasn't
at.
It?
Actually,
wasn't
you know,
it?
Yeah. What's worse is what Letterman puts those Putin topless shots on. Have you seen that? Letterman shows Putin on a horse with no shirt
yes.
on. God, that's hilarious.
Oh, well, but I mean, you know, yeah. he does go to the gym, but Geraldo right. Rivera has not been.
Oh, really?
You look at Geraldo Rivera, you think, that needs ironing.
Yeah.
Here's Joyce, who asks, do your guests have any comments? And by the way, you can put your own story from the year before us here if you care to. Again, email us forum at kqed.org or go to our website, kqed.org.
Stump the band.
Stump the band.
You can call us, 866-733-6786. Joyce asks, do your guests have any comments about the story this week concerning the EPA official John Beal, who pretended to be a CIA agent in order to avoid working at the office?
Wow. That's brilliant. The best excuse ever.
Yes. That's too many initials for me. I got lost there. I don't know.
He's an environmental protection guy. Right, he said he was a CIA guy.
Well, who did he say it
fraudulent
to?
Identity. He should have pretended to be NSA, then he would have never got fired. Thank right, you, Irene. Right, good right. line. I mean, how important is it to keep up on the news just to get grist for the mill and keep political material going? Because, you know, Durr says, and Johnny Steele, they both say, people don't like political jokes. They like the other kind of material much more, you know.
It's not the thing with political jokes and in really nuanced things are that there's not, for the general public, unfortunately, there's not a common frame of reference. You know what I'm saying? And so that's, you have to go with broader strokes. As opposed to things that are real, you know, and Durst really.
Oh, Sly and the Family Stone, different strokes.
Right, for different, yeah, and yeah, so yeah. forth. Yeah.
Sly and the Family
and
Stone.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, yeah. Ooh, Sha-Sha. Well, you know, you're right, though. The thing with that is that you have to take a small premise and build it up to a bigger one so yeah. people can get the bigger joke. It's hard to do political stuff. On one hand, it's easier because it's always in the news, but it's harder because you have to keep doing it every day.
That's the other issue, too. A really short shelf life.
Yeah.
You put a lot of work into it, and then it's disposable.
Yeah, right.
But there are stories that are almost like stand-up if you did stuff about your family or like stories about people like, you know, Rob Ford or mm-hmm. Kanye. I mean, they're bigger than life people and everybody relates to it and everybody knows it. So, I mean, a lot of people who do topical stuff, it is usually broad strokes and they don't get wonky.
Except
about
for
it.
Like the people that are doing nightly TV, they can be more specific because it's about that one issue and then they don't have to do another joke about it.
Well, and they
gone.
Have 100 writers, so that helps too.
No, absolutely right. Yeah.
I get to a very vital question before we get to more of our listeners, and that is, who's got better comedy writers? Leno, Letterman, Kimmel? Who do you guys?
You didn't even mention Arsenio.
You guys are connoisseurs.
Well, Arsenio, you know,
I told you my line about Arsenio, didn't I?
No.
I mean, he used to give the interviews, and it was like this. Lillian Gish, you know, is the first lady of the stage yeah. and one of the greatest actresses of our time. Arsenio would begin by saying, "So tell me what it was like to be on the stage all those times."
Right.
He would give those kind of interviews.
You know, but I mean,
broad strokes.
I mean, I think I kind of, Arsenio was interesting because it's you don't want to say he had his day, but I don't think he's really into doing that much stand up now. He was something that was really a force.
He was a good stand-up comic. Yeah, he was.
But I don't think he's comfortable doing topical stuff every night now. He just doesn't. I can just see it. He doesn't look like he's that comfortable doing it. He kind of wants it to be the way it used to be when he was on before, and it's not. The demographics changed a little bit.
Well, he's got to get his footing. He really hasn't gotten into his groove yet.
I agree.
And he will. And he will.
May I mention also Wanda Sykes, who doesn't have a late night talk show, and no woman does. And maybe that would be a great writing team if we could get a woman. back.
Boy,
on,
she was
she's brilliant.
So good on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, I
oh,
just
yeah.
love to watch
she's
her.
She's good in everything. I'm not saying
well,
that.
Well, we had her on Forum, and that, yeah. it was a few years ago. But tell me what... who do you think is the best comedy?
Well, no, you know, I think, getting back to the question, you know, I get into the technique of this a lot. You know, Kimmel has become really, really good at this in terms of his monologue. He gets more done in his monologue than anybody else does. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dave is Dave, and no one lets things happen more than Dave does in terms of his personality. But Kimmel is now doing jokes. He's going to video. He gets a lot done. There's a lot of content mm-hmm. in his monologue.
Well, I'll tell you, John Stewart has the best writers.
Oh, well, yes. Colbert no and Stewart. I
yeah.
mean, we're not even including Comedy
well,
Central.
It's late night.
They're unbeatable. I mean, that's the best. I mean, they win all the awards, too, for writing. I mean,
but, you know, I was just saying to someone earlier this morning that the whole idea that Howard Stern had of talking to people on the street, Leno just picked it up and, you know, ripped it
and,
off.
And he didn't do it very well.
It's awful.
You know, I'll tell you what is original, what Kimmel does with the celebrities reading the tweets that are made.
Yeah.
Those are hilarious. I mean, they get these horrible, ugly things said about them. Any public figure does. You know, these people are reading these tweets. Very funny.
Well, you know,
I know. Conan's got the best writers.
Yeah.
Conan.
Oh, Brian does. Yeah. I think that's probably true.
I just don't watch him much for some
reason. No, I don't.
He's
I don't,
got some
but
great
I know
lines.
He does.
Oh, he comes up with some great stuff.
It's always the smartest stuff. It's nothing easy. Yeah.
Lori Kilmartin, who's doing the You Normally Use Eve. She's one of his writers, one of his main writers.
Let's go to our callers. Sam, join us. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my car, Michael. How about our own West Coast Wiener story? The witch is getting married at City Hall today, and Scott Wiener is the target, and... What do your guests think about that? All politics are local.
You're going to have to educate us with the story.
Yeah, I don't know the story.
Yeah.
Oh, the witch is getting married. This is a woman.
What witch? Christine O'Donnell?
Christine O'Donnell. I told you my Christine O'Donnell story.
Or the Wizard of Oz. What witch are we talking about here?
Are they naked? Because that's
there's a
like
naked
a
marriage at City Hall.
Oh, that's the one. Yes, that is the one.
They're naked?
Of Scott Wiener's decision to ban public nudity in San Francisco.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, we got it now.
Right.
Marga.
Oh, well, I just pray for rain. I pray for rain so people put clothes on.
You know,
are not the people I want
to see. It's never anybody
want to
see naked. Nudists are never.
I was going to say, and I'll get in trouble. This is about the only one that kind of looked half decent with no clothes on. No, and I looked at it. I'm like, oh, okay. She could get married then. No, but I mean, that one, like, normally it's like, ugh. But, you know, this, yeah, she looked.
Did you guys ever play that nudist gig? Did you guys ever play it in the 80s, early 90s? It was a nudist gig. Remember that? I did it once. It was down by, down near Scotts Valley, and the whole audience is naked. The entire audience is naked.
Really?
Yes.
You just put out a thing that went viral on that, except it was in Russia. Actually, the whole audience was
naked.
Yeah, it was naked.
But the comedians could dress.
The comedians could dress, yeah.
And you have to wear that thing with the up.
My turtleneck dress, and then I mentally dress the audience.
Yes,
mentally.
He's dressing me with my. I'm dressing her with my eyes.
Yeah, putting a sweater on you.
And let me thank Sam for the call. Since he mentioned all politics is local,
he's naked right now. By the way,
is he?
Yeah.
There's a new poll out that says that if we were to have a mayor's race in San Francisco today, it would be neck and neck between Amiano and Mayor Lee.
And may I just do a quick impression of Tom Amiano? Oh, I just love San Francisco. It's a great town. Hey, how are you? It's like she sounds like Tony Fields.
It sounds like Harvey Fierstein, but all right. He's gay. He's saying he's gay.
No, but that's... I love Tom, actually.
Oh, we love Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Is he
termed out? Wait, what's he doing now?
Tom still plays... Oh, he...
Is he termed out?
Is he still doing stand-up?
I think this is his last term, but he does Comedy Day every year.
He's great. He's a fun guy.
He's got that joke that I love about the Supreme Court, you know, all in black with no pearls.
He was a funny stand-up comic.
Yeah, he was. Very funny.
But getting back to your point, though, Mike, the idea of him neck and neck with Lee, that's interesting because I guess, you know, with all the new techno stuff coming into town, is the city moving a little more right of center than it was before? I mean, I'm serious.
I think it's probably moving to no voting because they're all on, you know, their screens. They're all on Snapchat.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's Dan. Dan from San Jose. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, good morning. So first I want to thank whoever had the comment about Peralta's topless Twitter shot needing to be ironed.
Thank you very much.
Too. That was
that's
Brian.
That's true. We didn't.
Absolutely priceless and indelible, unfortunately.
Priceful and indelible.
Can I quote you on that? I love that.
I'd like to please comment on the role of pranks, the increasing role of public pranks in in the news. I think, you know, I missed earlier in the show, I think you might have spoken about the signer at Mandela's funeral, but earlier this year we had the whole Asiana flight crew naming thing that was spoken on the news. It was, you know, unbelievably funny. I mean, TC, considering
it was.
But people got fired over that.
Yeah, see, if I could comment on that for a second. Yeah, that, unfortunately, I did not find to be funny. I worked at KTVU for 5 years, and Tori Campbell, who's the anchor that it happened to, you know, that was just really, you know, devastating for her, because those of us who have read Prompter and who have worked,
absolutely,
you know, in that situation know it could have been any one of us. You know, they're putting.
And they checked out the story, and they got an intern to verify the story.
Yeah,
they didn't know it was
that could have been anybody who reads Prompter, because especially the news, because they're throwing stuff up there all the time. So that was really, you know, it's unfair what happened.
But I have
people.
A further comment on that. It's Channel 2's own fault there, because that wasn't even news. That wasn't news. Who the pilots are? Is that like you're scooping somebody?
That is news. I would disagree.
Would anybody care who those guys were or those names? I recognize something Wong. That's my buddy. No one knows who those people were. It wasn't news. And they just were scooping somebody, and they got their kind of.
Well, I disagree. It is news. You have a plane crash, you want to know who the pilots were, especially when you're talking about pilot air. Sure, that's news.
Do you really?
Sure, that's news.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
But, well, it depends where the pilots are from.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know that guy. Something Wong. Buddy of mine. And I don't think so, you know.
Ted from San Francisco writes, let's hear the panel riff on local topics. The Lucas Museum, the A's versus Giants territorial rights, the Warriors Embattled Arena plan, KQED's endless fundraising, farmers markets, bans on
styrofoam. KQED fundraises? You're kidding me.
Threw that in here.
Really? I didn't know that.
Nice going.
Is it by listeners like me?
Well, you want to riff on any of these?
Let's see.
He gave a whole laundry list.
What about the evictions in the city?
Lucas Museum, A's versus Giants territorial rights, Warriors Embattled Arena plan. This is territory for Sarlat. KQED's endless fundraising, farmers markets ban on styrofoam.
Hey, I saw where Lou Wolf wants to keep the A's. Right?
That's
a step in the right direction. I mean, you know, the thing about, I don't know how much you follow sports, but I feel sorry for the A's. They're good every year. They make great moves every year. Mm-hmm. And the average lifespan of a guy in the A's is about a year and a half. Wait till he gets good. He's making too much money. We send him away. The A's do a great job. Bob Melvin does a great job over there. But so they deserve to be in the market. I don't want them moving. And I'm glad that Lou Wolf is one of
the fact. We mentioned Asiana Airlines. We mentioned Kim Jong-un. Here's a listener who writes, what's your take on Dennis Rodman and his relationship with North Korea?
How could anyone?
There's a guy faking he's in the CIA to keep from going to work. Dennis Rodman.
Still likes Pearl Jam.
He's going to be a coach now. Did you know that? He's going to coach the North Korean team they're going to play in the Olympics.
No, my goodness.
They won't score any points. They'll just rebound. That's all he ever did.
Yeah, they'll be really pierced, too.
Oh, God.
Heavily pierced.
Here's a caller from Livermore. John, you're on.
Hey, just a quick story from D.C. A woman who was being mugged yesterday told the robber that she was an intern with the NSA, and within minutes, he would be tracked down, and he just turned around and ran.
Excellent.
But she was really from the EPA.
Nice presence of mind on her part. I don't know. I would have come up with that.
Thank you, John, for that tip, in fact. And here's
Monique. For that tip.
May I see your license? No, because I'm with the NSA.
Monique, join us. Hi.
Hi. I was just calling in to see what you guys think of the film Blackfish and the fact that SeaWorld has not closed its doors yet.
I have not seen Blackfish.
Nor has Marga. No. We're all ignorant here.
I'll freeze, Bill.
I've always thought it was weird at SeaWorld that they have a seafood restaurant. They used to have actually a seafood restaurant at SeaWorld, which just, you know, is that kind of a twisted incentive program?
Oh, no.
It's like no wonder dolphins are jumping through the flaming hoops.
And barbecue at the zoo? I mean, it's like, oh.
It's a special
seal.
You got
to smell that when you're in the cage. It's like, am I next?
Monique, can you help us out here?
What did
Blackfish have to do with SeaWorld? I'm sorry. I don't know.
The killer whales that are at SeaWorld are basically being enslaved, and they should not be in captivity. Their dorsal fins are turned over, and they've killed a few people. And
thank you for setting us up with that thigh slapper.
How'd they kill the people?
There's so much comedic potential with that.
I don't know. They ate them, basically.
Yeah, but wait. But aren't they in a tank? Where'd the people? What were they doing
They were trainers. And it's been caught on video several times of people being bitten by the whales, being killed by the whales, even
whale biters. Worse than a snake bite.
Get killed by the whales. Yeah. You know, don't go
I got a kit for that.
Everyone should watch Blackfish. It's on Netflix. Watch it. It's important. And boycott SeaWorld.
Okay. I've never been, so I'm totally on that.
Thank you.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm boycotting the moon, too. I'm not going to go to the moon. No matter, I'm boycotting.
Whichever the green cheese.
Is that some of the local news that people are asking for?
I guess so. Not, actually.
That's terrible. I feel bad.
Think about this as the year that was. We have to think about some of those who have gone this year. I mean, there's not necessarily humor, posthumous humor, is there?
Well, who?
It depends on who it
is. I'm trying to think of the list. You know, who's on the list this year?
I heard somebody riffing on, you know, what was the name of the guy, the actor who did all those?
Oh, Paul Walker?
Yeah, those Vin Diesel movies and turning it into. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the thing about that I just found odd. I don't know if this is funny, but it's just, you know, the Paul Walker thing. Okay, I guess they were racing, they get into a terrible car crash, and he dies. And the results of the autopsy were that he died from a car crash. It's like, you know, these guys look at him like, why is
there? Make that stuff up.
Hello, why is there an autopsy?
This was the thing.
Is there a surprise as to how you know?
Well, maybe he was drunk.
In the comedy community, it was like every comic, and you know, usually like a lot of the new people were just on Twitter, and everybody was trying to come up with the, you know.
Wait a minute, Margaret.
Best. What?
Is there a comedy community?
Yes, oh, yeah.
The comedy community.
Sure.
You mean like the gay and lesbian community?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we need
the Catholic community.
We want marriage. Comedians want the right to marry.
Comedians want the right to stay married.
Too soon. Too soon is, I think, like the phrase of comedy in 2013.
Well, we got another year ahead of us. We'll hope for some humor. We all need it.
Nice to have
you guys. I'm going to twerk to this.
Yes.
Forum is, let me just give the plugs, because comics have to have their plugs. Brian Copeland Show, and he'll be performing the Jewelry Box at the Marsh, opening the Scion in January. Margaret Gomez, she's at the Marsh with Lovebirds, January 23rd through March 15th. And Bob Sarlat, you can hear him at the 49ers games, and he's always ubiquitous. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Danny Bringer and Jim Bennett today. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. And our interns, Keelan Cronin, Nick Zabrowski, Victor Valle, Angela Johnston, and Aaron Newport. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of today's program. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio and Frenzel 2, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.